Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Then the word of the Lord came to him, that is, Elisha, saying, "Go now to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and live there, for I have commanded a widow there to feed you." So Elisha set out and went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the town, a widow was there gathering sticks. And he called to her and said, "Bring me a little water in a vessel so that I may drink." This was a time of great famine in the land. And as she was going to bring it, he called to her and said, "Bring me a morsel of bread in your hand." But she said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have nothing baked, only a handful of meal in a jar and a little oil in a jug. I am now gathering a couple of sticks so that I may go home and prepare it for myself and my son, that we may eat it and die." Elijah said to her, "Do not be afraid. Go and do as you have said. But first, make me a little cake of it and bring it to me. And afterwards, make something for yourself and your son. For thus says the Lord God of Israel, the jar of meal will not be emptied, and the jug of oil will not fail until the day that the Lord sends rain on the earth." So the widow went and did as Elijah said, so that she, as well as he and her household, ate for many days. The jar of meal was not emptied, neither the jug of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord that he spoke by Elijah. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second scripture reading this morning is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 37 to 47. Hear again what the Spirit is saying to the church. "Now when they had heard this," that is Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost, "they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and to the other apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' And Peter said to them, 'Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, so that your sins may be forgiven. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you, for your children, and for all who are far away, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to him.' And Peter testified with many other arguments and exhorted them, saying, 'Save yourselves from this corrupt generation.' So those who welcomed his message were baptized, and that day about 3,000 persons were added. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Awe came upon everyone, because many wonders and signs were being done by the apostles. All who believed were together and had all things in common. They would sell their possessions and goods and distribute the proceeds to all as any had need. Day by day, as they spent much time together in the temple, they broke bread at home and ate their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having the goodwill of all people. And day by day, the Lord added to their number those who were being saved." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our final reading this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 31 to 34. Hear again what the Spirit is saying to you, the church. Jesus put before them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that someone took and sowed in his field. It is the smallest of all the seeds, but when it has grown, it is the greatest of shrubs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and make nests in its branches." Then he told them another parable. "The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed in with 3 measures of flour until all of it was leavened. Jesus told the crowds all these things in parables. Without a parable, he told them nothing. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So the question I've been pondering this week as I've been thinking about these two parables, these two stories with a purpose or a meaning behind it, the question I've been thinking about is, how do you describe the indescribable? So how do you take a huge, complex, enigmatic, intricate idea that's big and hard to understand and then try to boil it down into something simple and manageable, or at least maybe something you can start to wrap your mind around? So how would you try to describe the indescribable? For example, how would you try to explain or describe life to someone? Well, if you were Forrest Gump, that slow-witted but kind-hearted man who unwittingly influenced all those U.S. historical events in the movie, if you were trying to describe the indescribable and describe life to someone, you would say, life is like a... And then you would say... Right. And by that, you would be trying to describe the indescribable, and you would be trying to say that life is unpredictable, and it's mysterious, and it's wonderful, like a box of chocolates is very wonderful. Now, if you were Neal Shusterman, who is an award-winning writer of young adult fiction, you would say this. Life is like a bad haircut. At first, it looks awful. Then you get kind of used to it. Before you know it, it grows out and it's time to get another haircut. That maybe this time won't be quite so bad. Unless, of course, you keep going to Super Clips, where the hairstylists are so terrible they ought to be using safety scissors as they cut. And when they're done, it looks like your head got caught in a ceiling fan. So life goes on, good haircut, bad haircut, until you finally go bald. And it don't matter no more. Wonderful words of comfort to preteens and young adults as they begin to struggle through more than just bad haircuts, as they try to figure out this thing called life. Or if you were the theoretical physicist Albert Einstein, you might say life is like riding a bicycle. To keep your balance, you must keep moving. A very scientific way of expressing an eternal truth about not giving up in life. So, 3 great minds, 3 great similes, 3 ways of trying to describe the indescribable. So now we turn to Matthew's gospel, where Jesus is trying to describe the indescribable. To describe the kingdom of heaven, also known as the kingdom of God. And because there really are not words for something so magnificent and glorious and wonderful, he just settles for trying to describe what the kingdom of heaven is like. So Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed that starts out as a tiny little insignificant seed and grows into an enormous shrub or tree. And Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like a little bit of yeast that a woman mixes in with 3 measures of flour, and it causes it to expand until there's enough dough to bake bread for 100 people. Friends, the kingdom of heaven is so much more than that place that we all hope we end up in after this life is over. The kingdom of heaven is God's reign or God's rule over all of creation since the beginning of time. The kingdom of heaven comes near to us in the person of Jesus Christ, who left heaven to come and be among us. And someday, hopefully soon and very soon, the kingdom of heaven will invade this world and take it over once and for all. One day God will dwell with us and he will be our God and we will be his peoples. And one day death will be no more, mourning and crying and pain will be no more. And God will wipe away every tear from our eyes. The kingdom of heaven, from the beginning to the end. And here we are, stuck in the middle. So as we wait for that final day to come, we get little tastes of the kind of life that is to come when the kingdom of heaven finally invades our world. You could think of them as kingdom appetizers, small and hidden things like mustard seeds and bits of yeast that grow and expand into great and glorious things in our lives, in front of our very eyes. Kingdom appetizers that give us a taste of what's to come. To think of it in today's terms, I don't know that many of us plant mustard seeds or spend a whole lot of time with yeast, except Susie when she's baking bread for communion. But to think of it in today's terms, if you've been watching the news out of Dallas, the kingdom of heaven is like when a police officer in Dallas is found guilty of murdering an innocent man. And after she is sentenced, the dead man's brother asks to hug her, to give and to receive forgiveness. That's a kingdom moment. How the one little story of a courtroom hug symbolizing mercy and forgiveness becomes a sign to an entire nation of this is what the kingdom of heaven will be like. This is what the kingdom of heaven should be like now. So what a powerful and glorious picture Jesus is painting with these parables of these small and hidden things, which end up with this glorious culmination. But if we zoom in and look a little more closely at these two parables Jesus tells, we realize that mustard seeds and yeast are among the oddest of choices Jesus could have made when he's trying to describe the kingdom of heaven. Now, I don't know how much you know about mustard plants, but a mustard plant is actually classified as an invasive weed. So if it shows up in your yard, you want to rip that puppy out as quickly as you can because it is going to take over everything else and all of your other plants. So there are probably some better plants Jesus could have chosen. And second of all, in biblical times, they didn't use yeast in their bread as we know it, but really they used something called leaven, which one person I read described it as a rotting, molding lump of bread. Yum. So they used this rotting, molding lump of bread was used to start a new loaf of bread. Now, I'm not a bread baker, but I think sourdough kind of works this way. You start with a sourdough starter, and it becomes this beautiful loaf of bread. So, my friends, you know what this means. It's like Jesus is standing up and saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a giant invasive weed and moldy bread. Come on in. That's right. So, I think that can only lead us to ask the question, what in the world was Jesus thinking when he picked the mustard plant and leaven? Well, he was probably thinking that the kingdom of heaven grows from something small and hidden into something wonderfully invasive, like the mustard plant, and something powerfully creative, like yeast or leaven. And it does it all by itself. We don't have to lift a finger, do a thing. It happens naturally and oftentimes in the most unexpected ways and places. Friends, in Christ, the kingdom of heaven is not something that needs to be carefully tended to like a rose in a hothouse, nor does it need to be watched like a chocolate souffle in your oven. God's got that all taken care of for us. The kingdom of heaven will live and move and grow and expand through the power of the Holy Spirit all on its own. All we have to do is to keep praying that which we pray every Sunday when we gather together. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, I know this is all wonderful to think about what will be, what we're waiting for in the kingdom of heaven. But there may be times when you turn on your TV set or talk to your friends or scroll through social media, and it may not always look like the kingdom of heaven has come to us and is on its way invading and taking over the world. But these two parables of small and hidden things are signs of hope for those who are discouraged by the unchanging destructiveness of human interactions and structures. These are a way of reframing the overwhelming suffering in our lives and our world, which sometimes makes it feel like God's not paying attention to us. We know that the kingdom of heaven is present and active. And maybe for right now it's buried like a seed or has just been added to the flower. But it is the assurance that despite outward appearances, God is already at work in small and hidden ways in our world and in our lives, even when we can't see it ourselves. The words of Julian of Norwich, an English mystic from the late 1300s, perfectly sums up the assurance of the kingdom of heaven. And if you know anything about Julian of Norwich, probably this is the quote that you will recognize as being hers. She once quite famously said, "All shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well." The kingdom of heaven is itself the promise of hope. Though life now may seem to be this mixed bag of good and evil, God will sort it all out in the end. God has ruled and reigned from the very beginning. God continues to rule and reign even now, and one day the kingdom of heaven will burst into our world, and God will rule and reign forever. And all shall be well, and all shall be well, and all manner of thing shall be well. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.